Hey everybody, and welcome to the Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I'm here with...
Paulie Presenza, known as the Moo Cal.
And...
Just Jen.
Alright, and we are here to talk about the movie For Your Height Only, spelled really, really weird. But, come check this out. We're going to go into our intro music. Woo! Hey everybody, and welcome back. We are going to be talking about For Your Height Only.
Outstanding.
And we're going to have our little buddy here, Paul, who actually brought the movie to our attention and everything and picked it. He's going to talk a little bit about the background of the movie and tell us a little bit about what, you know, about what how it got all started and everything.
Yeah, so this is a film that was made sometime around the late 70s, early 80s. I think 80 is when it came out, or 81. And it's the result of some money that the Melda Marcos and the Marcos groups had that they were trying to promote movies being made in the Philippines. So back in the 60s and 70s, there was actually a lot of interesting drive-in style movies that were being made in the Philippines because, it was a very cheap place, and you know, you could do things in there without really having to follow a lot of the safety laws and such. So there were a lot of people who wanted to make films and not spend a lot of money. They went to the Philippines, and there were some famous people who went there too. You know, Francis Ford Coppola obviously shot Apocalypse Now there as well. So it's, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on in the Philippines. So in the early 80s, Wang Wang came out, and he came in this film, and it became sort of an overnight success. So a little bit on the background of Wang Wang. His name was originally Ernesto de la Cruz, and he is in the Guinness Book of World Records as being the shortest leading man in a movie, which is kind of interesting. He was in roughly 14 or 15 movies, many of which are considered lost. This one and the follow-up to Your Height Only is called The Impossible Kid, and then there's one called The Wild Wang, and there's a couple others that you can actually get your hooves on, but most of them are either never been released, or they're just in Tagalog only, or, you know, or only in the Philippines. And I know that there's a project out there that's hopefully going to get more of these released.
I have a real question real quick, if you know this answer or not.
Okay.
Wang Wang. Mm-hmm. Is Wang his first name and his last name?
Yes.
Or, okay, because you said his real name was like Ernesto.
Ernesto de la Cruz,
and,
right.
And he goes by Wang Wang. And then the title of the other one was The Wild Wild Wang, not
right,
The Wild
right.
Wild Wang Wang.
And one of the characters that he plays in The Wild Wild Wang is named Mr. Wang. So... I know it's
so is every single movie that he's done, he calls himself
yes.
Wang.
He was known as Wang Wang. He was a big star in the Philippines at the time, so they just had to say Wang, and everybody knew who he was.
They just had to call out old Wang.
So the movie itself was directed by Eddie Neikart, and when I was talking earlier about the tradition of Philippine cheap movies, there he was a guy that started off as a stunt guy, and then he became sort of a bit actor, and then he evolved into a stunt director, and then he started directing films. And most of the films that Wang Wang did are movies that Eddie Neikart directed. And then the other thing about him is, so you see him doing a lot of his own stunts, because that was one of the things he wanted to do. Whenever they had like a stunt midget, you could tell because it was just a different person. And like at one scene, they had the guy had a hat over his face, so you couldn't see it was somebody different. But otherwise, Wang Wang was doing his own stunts, and he actually was a martial arts person. He did learn that. Now it's not quite on display in this particular film.
His nut punches,
right, or slapping people's butts.
Yeah.
But if we get to do Impossible Kid, which I'm hoping we do, you get to see a lot more of his actual real martial arts skills. So that's pretty cool. One of his early roles was from, you'll find this interesting, He was cast in a movie called Moon Boy from Another Planet, which is about this alien who comes to Earth and some kid finds him and they have this nice adventure and blah, 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 blah. 10 years before E.T. existed. And as a matter of fact, the director sued Steven Spielberg, saying that he stole his idea. And, you know, of course, Steven Spielberg has all the power and the money, so it never went anywhere.
Yeah, he's got lawyers that just say, go away.
Right, right.
We don't have time for this.
So I thought that would be an interesting thing to put up. So other than that, he was also in the Philippines. He was named as an honorary Filipino secret agent. Because he was so popular.
Honorary. So does that mean he could do all the secret agent stuff?
Supposedly, yeah, yeah.
So he could go, he could actually go and be a Bond if he wanted to?
If he wanted to, yeah.
I wonder if he did. Like, that would be an interesting.
I'm sure
ask
he
your
did.
Friend. Ask your friend who's That's doing right. that documentary. Talk about that real quick.
Right. Well, and one thing I wanted to say is that, unfortunately, as the 80s came to a close, all his roles kind of dried up, and the money that was being put into the film industry there kind of went away, and he ended up dying at an early age, around 34, because of night. But as Jonathan mentioned, there are a couple of documentaries that talk about Weng Weng in particular and also about the Philippines. So the first one is by a Facebook friend of mine called Andrew Leibold. He used to own a video store in Australia, and then he was obsessed with Weng Weng, like I and a lot of other folks, and he went out and made this documentary called The Search for Weng Weng. So that became a film, and now it's also being put out as a book. So when we put this up, we're going to put links on there so you can get to it. But he has an exhaustive and authoritative history on Weng Weng. So everything you want to know about the Weng, he's going to be there.
The Weng.
And then the second thing I want to mention is that there's another documentary called Machete Maidens Unleashed, which is directed.
I've heard of that one.
Directed by Mark Hartley. And then Andrew Leibold, I think, is one of the contributing writers. And that is basically about the movies, the drive-in style movies that were made in the 70s and early 80s.
Is that on Netflix?
It could be on Netflix. I know you can buy it, and I think it's on Amazon. But basically, it talks about the three B's of the Filipino movies that were made back then, which is, you know, blood, beasts, and breasts. So if you could show all three of those, you were going to make a successful movie in the Philippines.
Oh, so, that's great.
So that's kind of the background for Weng Weng.
Wait,
they didn't
have any breasts in this one.
No, but there is little in Impossible Kid.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
So that's to note, if you want to watch this movie, there is no TNA, really. People do get naked, but you don't really see it. And we'll get into that, I guess, later.
Which is probably for the best, considering the people who were doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so we're going to go into the story, right, like now. And I'm going to read the synopsis. I've got to do it in my movie voice. Yeah. Mr. Jait has kidnapped the brilliant Dr. Van Kohler and is planning to use the doctor's invention, the N-bomb, to hold the world hostage. The only one who can foil Mr. Giant's evil scheme is Agent 2'9" tall Filipino martial arts master, expert marksman, top class romancer, and all around super spy. Can Agent 00 rescue Dr. Kohler before it's too late?
And that's pretty much the plot of the film. I mean, Weng Weng, you know, depopulates the Philippines of all the baddies, all the bad guys, and it really is one long continuous chase. I mean, you just blur from one to the next. And one of the problems we're going to talk about is the editing, because it makes it kind of makes it like a long, strange dream, because there's really no connections between stuff. It's just one long continuous chase. Very odd.
Yeah. Pretty much a lot of it is a lot of chasing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, and there are a number of notable problems with it. Editing is the one. but I tell you, though, it made it a lot of fun. It's certainly an interesting and fun experience.
Well, I think, you know, yeah, I think a lot of these movies that we watch, they don't have the best editing because they can't hire the best editors, you know? So a lot of them either do it themselves or they hire, you know, who they can to do it. Mm-hmm. They don't hire, like, you know, somebody really, really famous who can edit, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
The best editor. But they, you know, they cut the movie. I mean, well, we'll get into the editing in a little bit. Let's talk about the acting and the characters, you know. Okay. So, yeah, so that's Jen's laughing because it is kind of funny. Like, the acting and the characters were both insane. But let's talk about, first of all, there's Wang Wang, which I guess he's Agent 00 in this, and also known as Wang, like they do call him Wang, at a few times, so.
You got a bug in your hair, Wang.
Yeah. Some great lines, but we'll get to that later, toward the end. Our favorite lines. But anyway, so basically, the acting and or the characters for Wang Wang, there's also Dr. Kohler, as was talked about, but you don't really see him much.
Yeah, you see him in the beginning much. And then the end. It's like the whole middle part of the movie has nothing to do with him.
Right. It kind of reminds the Irma. Right. There's like basically she's in the beginning and then she's more toward the end as well. And then there's a bunch of other pot. You know, or whatever. What Filipinos thought were sexy super agents, you know, female super agents.
Agent High Beams is one of them. And let's see, there was another
one.
Why'd
you nickname her that?
Just because of her physical characteristics.
But you gotta explain that. Like, because her real name isn't, you know.
No, no, yeah.
Do
brothers
even have real names anymore?
Well, one of them does.
Irma.
Irma.
But aside from that,
we had the dancer.
Right? Yeah, there was Agent Bad English accent.
Oh, yes.
I forget her name.
Oh, but she had some great lines.
She has some great lines.
Okay, there's Lola.
Yeah, Lola.
And then there's Marilyn.
Said Marilyn Berlin.
Yeah, Marilyn Berlin.
That was a great line.
That's a great line. Then there's Anna, Irma, and. And then I remember the one woman that, like, shows up and then disappears. She's there, and she kind of puts that bomb in the, I think.
Oh.
I don't remember her name. I don't think she,
had a name.
I like him little.
Oh, yeah. She didn't have a name.
No.
I don't think.
No. Nameless. The nameless one.
But that was a great line. Also, I know. Good Lord.
So he's got all his chicky-poos there. And then there's the boss. There's the worthless boss who doesn't really understand any of the gadgets that he's giving him.
Oh, gosh. That cracked me up. Yeah. Here's a pen.
That's right.
It does lots of amazing things. But it doesn't write.
Doesn't write words, but you can't have everything.
But they never tell us what amazing things the pen does, but it does not write.
Right.
But apparently Wang Wang knows.
Yeah.
He just...
Because he's Wang Wang. He knows everything.
He knows everything.
There was the belt buckle that does lots of different things.
Yeah, he's like, there's a gang of gimmicks. You can cut bars with it.
Yeah.
We think.
And that's all we're going to tell you. Now, this, of course, is done as he's giving him all these gadgets.
And usually he's saying things like, it's a real humdinger. That doesn't really tell you what's going on or what it is.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Those are great.
And we'll go into that because that's part of, like, the practical and special effects.
Right.
So we'll get into that in a little bit.
More about characters. We have his nemesis, the evil Mr. Giant. And there's a whole slew of bosses that he has to go through.
They're like mini bosses.
Right. They're like, you know, it's like you're playing an 80s Atari game and you clear the one screen, you have to defeat the boss, and then you go to the next screen.
It actually literally, it reminded me of, there was an old Nintendo game that I still have to this day called Legend of Cage.
Mm-hmm.
Might have came out like right after this, so who knows if... you know, this was an inspiration or something. But there was this game where you would throw ninja stars and at all these ninjas, and then you would climb up these buildings, and then you get to the top, then you go into the building, then you go into another level where you do the exact same thing.
Right.
And then you get up there, and then eventually, I think it took like 10 times or something, you eventually get to the boss, then you kill him, and that's it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's like... This is, like, kind of the most pointless but kind of fun games that they're playing. Like, it's still fun. I like throwing ninja stars at people and, like,
who doesn't?
you know, you fly or whatever. So it's
but that's kind of how the way the movie is structured. Yeah. It's just he just goes from one boss. He's got there's Cobra, and then there's
Cobra
Baldo, whose nickname is Tattoo. By the way,
yeah, his nickname is Tattoo.
Mr. Kaiser. There's all kinds of these people. And these are all leaders of the ugly shirt gang.
Yes.
That's kind of their thing because they all wear these incredibly ugly, loud, garish shirts.
Late 70s.
Oh, my God. Disco shirts.
Yeah. The collars could kill someone with those points.
And the buttons are open all the way down to the bottom, practically.
I told you, they had a button shortage, apparently. It's the only explanation because every male in this movie, their outfits are half unbuttoned. Not the females.
So sexy.
Now, yep. The women wear tighter clothing. You know, usually the women are showing a lot more skin than the men. Not here. No. The men are showing a lot more
skin. So there you go, ladies. If you want to see your beefcake in addition to Wang Wang, you've got all these half-shirted Filipino men.
I would have preferred to see the women half-dressed.
Well, me too. Right, continuity monkey?
I mean, yeah, but... She doesn't feel the same way as us on that, but she still would rather, and that's kind of a sad thing.
Well, and it's interesting about the clothing, because our little buddy Wang Wang himself goes through a number of costume changes, like a leading lady in Hollywood in the 40s or something. It's amazing.
All pastel suits, too. We have the powder blue suit, we have the lavender suit, the dusty rose.
Of course.
I think there was a brown one at one point.
With matching accessories, of course.
Oh, God, yeah. Everything matches.
And his little disco outfit. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing.
I love the countless changes. Like, at first I didn't notice it. Like, I wasn't thinking about it, right? And then I was like, and then I think it just kept getting to this point where we're just like, whoa, it's like a clown car. It's, you know, completely different. You know, like, keeps changing and changing. It's crazy.
And you wonder if it's supposed to indicate a change of time or a change of day, because there's really nothing else to even tell you. I mean, it's all like one long continuous day that never ends. It's because of the way it's been edited. Very strange.
Okay, so to go back to the acting, the ugly shirt gang or whatever, their acting is so ridiculous at times.
Over the top.
Over the top.
Cartoonish.
There's a scene in the movie, and it's actually on the TV right now for us to look at, but there's a scene where... they're all just like kind of the ugly shirt gang is doing stuff. They're what is it? They're
making dough for this bread that they're going to hide the drugs in to get the children in the sandboxes hooked on drugs, because that's where all the money is, of course.
Oh jeez.
Oh my goodness. And then
that will be explained later.
Yeah. So then they go and they're like laughing for some God knows why.
They're hitting each other with dough in the face.
Hitting each other with dough, and then
dough fight.
And then Wang Wang just starts kicking them and knocking them out and doing all things, which makes sense. I don't think he actually kills these guys, so I think they do come back later or whatever. And, you know, but it's just like, what? I didn't understand really. Like, and he knows exactly where to pick up he knows what's going on.
Of course he does. He's Wang Wang.
Yeah.
It's like he has like this mental thing. Like
he can smell drugs through the plastic.
Apparently so.
Well, he is a super spy, so.
And the styrofoam. The bread.
The styrofoam bread that bounces when you throw it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, but yeah, anyway, it was hilarious.
They were a very incompetent gang.
Oh, yeah, these are supposed to be hardened drug criminals, and they're anything but. They're all terrible. And at one point, they all get together, and they're like, oh, my God, he's like agent of Lucifer. We can't stop him. He's totally unstoppable. It's like, well, no, not really.
He's just a freaking guy that if you shot him, you know. But unfortunately, when there's this great scene where Wang Wang is sneaking up on them, when they're all turned facing the boss,
right.
You know, usually there's at least some guy watching to make sure that the boss doesn't get, you know, attacked.
Yeah. These are awful guards.
Yeah, no, they're all looking inward.
Usually when you're guarding, like, a compound, you're looking out the gate to see who is approaching, not looking at the house, I guess, to see who's leaving.
Let's talk about... Filipino,
Filipino Burt Reynolds. That's one of the bosses. It's one of the evil bosses. He's actually on there one of the longest period of time. He's kind of the big chunky one. He has a lot of changes of costume as well.
Usually, they're all delightful.
They're usually like large, garish and loud jackets with a hat and sunglasses. And yeah, he's the one that likes to talk in football terms with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta take the ball over the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got this odd kind of accent that every now and again slips into James Cagney for no reason. You know, very strange.
Yeah, so he's a delight. I love him.
Yes.
He's one of my favorite characters on him. When I saw him, I was like, wow, that guy looks like Burt Reynolds. And so we decided to call him Filipino Burt Reynolds.
But as far as the quality of the acting is, like, I don't know that Wang Wang was necessarily a bad actor in this. It's really tough to judge, other than...
He's not the worst actor.
He's not the worst actor, but, you know... like, he has problems with blocking. Like, there's times when he's walking, and he's clearly supposed to stop at this point, and so he stops, and then he turns around, and, you know, it's not very natural, you know, at all. He looks like he's doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing.
Right.
Whereas other times, like now, he's just kind of walking with the chick, and he looks a lot more natural.
Yep, and, you know, he can be natural or whatever, but also, I think just... Okay, so we talked about it a little bit, but, like, the dubbing and everything kind of gets a little... I feel like it's a little misinterpreted or something, because some of the lines that they say just feel really weird.
Misinterpreted? Yeah. I think it was a bunch of college kids that were stoned or on drugs that were given this thing, because it makes some of the dialogue makes nothing, has nothing to do with what's going on. You know, at one point, you know, like the guys are talking about selling the drugs to the kids, and the guy's like, there's a lot of dough in that dough, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. Like, what the hell? What is that coming from?
So, yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
All right, so next...
Well, the dubbing, when you're talking about... when you're talking about acting, the dubbing sort of gets away in trying to judge the acting, because you're focused on the bad dubbing.
Right.
Very weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so we've talked about the acting a good amount, so let's go into music and sound.
Oh, Lord.
There's not going to be much that we're going to say
on this. It's pretty much the same sort of James Bond 007 kind of theme that gets played over and over and over and over. Other than there's one bit of music like, da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, you know, in order to move the scene along, because it's just, like I said, one long chase after another. So that music gets played.
Yep.
Yeah, although it wasn't particularly bad music. It wasn't very good. It was just...
There's some cartoony sounds, too. Like, at one point when Wang Wang hops out of the bushes and surprised the bad guy, he's like, boing! or when he floats down from the hotel on his little umbrella, it's like, ew! You know, so there are a number of cartoony kind of sounds in there, too.
Yeah, I guess that's like 80s, you know, the 80s had that. That was a typical staple. So I'm not, that never bothered me at all or anything. Like, I don't think it bothered you, but it never, like, became a thing where I even thought about it because I just, you know, just kind of used to 80s movies being
didn't
like this.
It bother me per se, but it lends to the cartoonish feel of the whole thing.
That's true. Mm. That's true. All right, so where are we up to next? We are at... Direction and cinematography.
Oh, dear. let me put it to you this way. The director shot it in such a way that I never want to go to Manila ever. It just looks like an awful place. If you're not looking at the gutters, then you're looking at the most nondescript square block concrete hotels with very, very odd decorations. There are all these curtains that are like half the way down the wall, and then there's another set of curtains underneath of it, and you know the decoration and the sets are very strange. And like I said, it was directed in such a way that it's you don't know what day it is or what time it is or even where you are. It's just one constant chasing after another. It's like a bad dream almost.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange.
All right, so
and here's an example. Here's Liquor Cam. You know, we're looking at Wang Wang going down the street through a bunch of bottles of booze. I guess that's artistic.
Well, I mean, I'll give the director some credit. He tried to do different stuff. I mean, remember, this is like the 80s. They had film. You know, this wasn't shot on video or this wasn't shot on, you know, whatever. This is film.
It's in focus. You know, that's like a thing for me.
It's in focus. As far as direction goes, the acting was bad, but like, I mean, and then a lot of this stuff, like right now, we just saw a hat fly around, and it was so silly. You know, like they had to have known this was not like, you know, like something that was going to be like Oscar winning, you know, or whatever. This is a, you know, this wasn't that big of a thing, but this was a, you know, kind of a fun, like little thing, you know, that people made, you know, people made fun little movies that, you know, you could see they tried, you know, they sort of, I don't know if I would say they failed. But they didn't, you know, he didn't do a movie that would, you know, cross the board everybody would love. Right, but like a niche group of people like us, you know.
Or folks in the Philippines, they loved it. This was an overnight success.
There you go. And that was the thing. And then, you know, and a lot of people, I mean, I posted about it last week. And a lot of people are like, oh, I love that movie, you know, and stuff like that. Or one of my friends is from Australia and pointed out your buddy who made that documentary.
Oh, Andrew Leavold.
Yeah. So, you know, he apparently knows that guy, too. So
nice. Well, it's hard not to like this film. It's so goofy and strange and weird. I mean, I know when I sent you guys the links, you guys were kind of had a little bit of trepidation about this film.
Look, I'm going to watch whatever, you know. Even if it were that horrible, that makes it even more fun to talk about, you know, or whatever. The only thing I don't like, and this is not something that you've ever shown me or whatever, but I don't like to fall asleep.
Right.
You know,
I don't like a boring movie.
Yeah. If you put me to sleep, you've failed.
Cardinal sin of movie making is to be boring.
Yeah. So this was not that at all. I didn't even mind. If we were going to rewatch this today, I wouldn't have minded.
I know. It's fun.
Like, it is a good movie. You know, it's a good bad movie.
What about you, Jen? What did you think when I sent you the little intro?
I didn't know what to think. Okay. Well, I'm already committed. Got it. Let's just go for it. Yeah.
Sound like you're in a mental asylum.
Well,
committed.
I know. I feel like I'm one of the Mads, and that you're like the Joel character, and I'm sending you up to watch bad films and to see your reaction.
No, it seemed weird. I guess it was a lot more enjoyable than the little clip that you had sent me.
To be fair, this does deserve a Riff Tracks.
Oh yeah, this would be a great Riff Tracks.
Riff Tracks, if you're listening, which I really hope you are. if you're listening, go please check out. For Your Height Only.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure they've seen it.
Any one of the Wang Wang movies would be great, but this is the best one.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen the other ones yet, so I can't compare. I am interested in The Impossible Kid as one of our future later ones that we'll do.
He has a special little motorcycle.
Aww. A little motorcycle?
A little motorcycle.
Like a mini motorcycle?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Well, we should talk a little bit about his gang of gimmicks.
Okay, well, we're going into practical and special effects.
There we go.
There we go. So perfect.
So he has a number of special little tools or little gadgets, just like James Bond does. And, it's at one point his boss kind of trots them out, and he doesn't seem to really have quite the grasp of them. But let's see. He's got the hat, mm-hmm. right? And that's supposed to be something with like a – it's supposed to have like a blade in it. And the idea is you throw the hat and it kills somebody. And,
or
you know, it
floats gently in their general vicinity and
with the help of string.
Crap out of them.
Yeah, it's not very believable. Mm-hmm. Then there is the pen, which as we talked about earlier, doesn't write words, but you can't have everything. It seems to have two functions. At one point it acts like a gun, like a single shot gun, because he shoots somebody with it. He shoots the guy with the umbrella and the bandages on his head.
Oh, yeah.
And then other times, it's kind of hollow, and he uses it like a dart gun, because he shoots all these bad guys who are just kind of standing there, and they have the little dart taped to their neck, so all they do is turn around really quick into the camera, so it looks like he got shot. Yeah. So there's the hat, there's the pen, there is the belt. The belt just had this little weird kind of like a fuse, and he sort of put it, made like a little square with it, because he gets captured at one point when he's going after Agent Irma, and they stick him in what's like a bread box or something, and the guy sits on it, and so he escapes by taking this little fuse thing out of his belt, and he lights it on fire, and it lets him escape. It's kind of strange.
It's a silent, quiet fire, too.
Right. He's got his special little tiny gun with the silencer. Because
tiny gun.
It's well known that you're a gun expert.
That's right.
And, oh, yeah. So, he of course, he shoots and never misses, and it's very strange. And it's got a little rocket launcher in there, too, because he blows them up at one point.
But he only shoots him in the shoulder.
Yeah, well.
And that kills him.
You know, the laws of physics are a little different in the Philippines. Bullets always go to the shoulder.
Gotcha. And that's a death shot.
There you go.
Okay. Good to know.
So he's got his little gun. Let's not forget his special X-ray glasses.
Oh.
They're these big goofy glasses, and
they're 70s glasses.
Right, and when you turn them on, supposedly you can see through people's clothing, mm-hmm. although nothing else.
Nope.
And of course, the first thing he does is immediately looks at the receptionist because he's a filthy little midget.
Well, yeah, but he couldn't see through the typewriter or the desk or anything else.
But they set up a scene for no other reason than for him to use the gadget, because they go back to his room, and his room is like a bed, and then all the walls are covered in these ceiling to floor curtains, mm-hmm. just for the purposes of the evil bad guys to hide behind. And he's taking out his glasses, he puts them on, and all of a sudden he sees a bunch of naked Filipino bad guys.
Oh. Yeah, not pleasant.
Not pleasant.
No.
So he's got the glasses.
So I just realized, if these bad guys are hiding behind the curtains, but you can't see their shape through the curtains, you just see the curtains, that means these curtains are, what, 2 feet away from the wall?
Something like that. No.
Try not to think too much about it. Thinking.
And then finally, the best gadget of all is he has his jetpack.
Jetpack. I loved it.
Jetpack. That's how he gets to Hidden Island.
Yes.
And that was like one of the best things I've ever seen.
Talking about the laws of physics not applying.
I'm not going to lie. Wang Wang did not look like he was enjoying being on the jetpack. He looked scared.
Oh, yeah. They had him up on a wire, and they were dragging him butt first through the air.
So I kind of felt bad for him. But,
me too.
But, I mean, like, if you had an actual jetpack, you know, or something, that would be fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I would love that. Cool.
But so it's a very stunt oriented film, as I said before, because Eddie Gneikart used to be a stunt director and a stunt man himself. So, you know, Wang Wang is either being, you know, somebody's handling him and throwing him across the floor. That's one of his secret weapons, is that he gets to slide across the floor at all times. Or sometimes they just pick his ass up and toss him, and he just flies through the air. So again, doing his own stunts, and then like this one where he just comes off the hotel window with the little umbrella, and you can see there's like a dummy of him banging against the wall as he goes down. It's kind of a shame. Mm-hmm. And at one point they toss him off of a bridge. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know if that was him necessarily. It's hard to tell. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he does a lot of interesting stunts.
Yeah. So let's see, it was the practical and special effects. I think that pretty much nails it. Oh, by the way, I mean, have we been really spoiling this movie? Oh,
that's all right. It's still
enjoyable. No. I mean, have we been talking, like, because I feel like we haven't really spoiled that much, but I'm about to drop a spoiler that will be the spoiler of all spoilers, so get ready. We didn't talk about it in the characters. We talked about it briefly. We mentioned Mr. Giant.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't mention that Mr. Giant was not a giant.
That's right. His horrible secret.
He's a midget. Yes. And I kind of expected it. I think back then in the 80s, that was something that people would be like, oh, my God. You know, right? And that's a big reveal or something, right? But, you know, me, I've seen so many movies where, you know, I mean, just looking at Robin Hood with Little John, and we talked about that before, but, you know, personally, we talked about that. But Robin Hood had Little John, and he was a big guy, right? So you get a guy named Mr. Giant, you're probably expecting him to be small. You know, he's overcompensating for something, you know, for his height. And plus, you know, if you had a giant fighting, well, I mean, it could work. We talked about that before. Bruce Lee did fight Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Right.
And win.
Right.
You know, so Wang Wang could have beat up a giant.
Well, he beats up everybody else in here.
Yes, he certainly does.
Strategic butt slaps and punches to the crotch.
But yeah, there's definitely some hot midget-on-midget action at the end of this film. And you can tell Mr. Giant has had some experience in the world of midget wrestling because, you know, he's definitely talking some shit and preening around and, you know, doing that whole thing, shaking his finger back and forth. And, yeah, it's pretty interesting. I'd love to find out a little background about him.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Okay.
In swimming pool.
All right, favorite parts, scenes, lines, and characters.
Oh, Lord. Where to begin? Yeah, so for me, I mean, one of the defining aspects of this film is just the dialogue. And, you know, we talked a little bit about the Butcher, the Baker, Can't Stick, make a remark. At one point where Agent Irma is talking about how concerned she is for him, and she says, "You're a little guy. You're very petite, like a potato."
Yeah, that was a great line.
It's awesome. I'll never forget the first time I heard that. I was like, what?
Pause.
It
go
was
back.
So funny.
Watch it again. Yep.
And then the romance scene with the other agent, and where she's like, you know, "Are you a sexual animal?" And he says, "I don't know." He goes, "I like you. I love you, Agent 00. Why? I don't know. The way you strut your stuff. You know, sex can be like tequila. Just one sip and you're a goner." And he says, "Shall we get it on?" She says, "Yes, darling. Bare your bod." And just saying does not give it justice.
No, the way they did it was even better.
Oh, it's hysterical.
Because they're so, like, almost nonchalant how they deliver all their lines. Like, it's as if these lines are just typical, like, things people just say, you know? Like, I've never looked at somebody and go, "You're petite, just like a potato."
I'm going to be using that from now on.
Oh, dear.
And then Agent Irma, she's complaining about, you know, when she's talking about, and she gets saved by Wang Wang. She's about to get shot, and there's the awful jump cut where he just jumps at the last second and rescues her. And then she's explaining that she won't join the bad guy syndicate, and says, "Now I get shot at once or twice a week."
Sigh. Like she had a bad hair day. Yeah, that was
so inconvenient.
That was my favorite line. Just kind of, darn.
Once again, nonchalant, like as if these are typical things. Mm-hmm. My other favorite line is, what's that girl say? She says something like, "You're a little guy." Or, "I like little guys."
Oh, yeah, I like them little.
I like them little. Oh, my God. That was so strange and random. And it's the best thing because he just sits down.
Yeah.
He just sits down across from this chick. He's, as far as I know, he's never met her. And he sits down across from this chick, and she says, "I like him little." Like, start the conversation off. Like, okay.
Like, it ain't the size, it's the way you use it.
Yeah. Surprised that line wasn't in there.
It was.
It was?
Yes.
Where was that? I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's the same scene where the special effect was she was poisoning, supposedly, because that's the other gadget. We forgot to talk about his ring. He's got a little ring that supposedly detects poison. So, of course, that whole scene is to show off that gadget. So she, you know, he gets distracted. She leans over with the lighter and just turns the lighter on. So it looks like, I don't know, and it's supposed to be her poisoning the drink, but it's just the lighter being turned on.
Right.
And then right afterwards, he goes to drink the drink and the little ring goes off and...
I don't know why they didn't have, like, a little cup of, I mean, anything. They poured anything into this thing.
Liquid would have been useful.
Yeah, and then they didn't even do that. They did lighter. Made no sense whatsoever.
That's another one of my favorite lines, too, is when they capture Agent Irma and the bad guys, the ugly shirt gang have her, and they grab her pendant, the one that always blinks and beeps, and she goes, "So that's how you communicate with your little Wang."
Yep.
They do a lot of the, like, lines about, like, him being little.
Yep.
And stuff. Like, there was one where the ugly shirt gang said something to about.
Oh, yeah. He's, like, hiding in a handbag.
Yeah. He's hiding in, and he must be hiding in a handbag. And, like, I mean, we talked about this last week, but this was not something them doing this, it wasn't almost like they were, they accepted him as a small guy. Mm-hmm. It was never anything like mean or nasty. Never
mean-spirited.
Yeah, it was not, it was almost as if, like today, I bet you, today, if they remade this movie, which, dear Lord, I hope not.
Oh,
but if they
God.
Remade this movie, I guarantee you somebody would have to mention his height. But Vern Troyer should do it. If we're going to get Mini-Me as, and he'll be the lead of the Wang Wang remake movie. I would be okay with that.
Well, unfortunately, the PC police would never allow a movie like this to be made, which is kind of a shame.
Maybe in the Philippines.
Maybe in the Philippines. But, at one point he is self-referential with the jokes because, he at one point when he slides across the floor and he bangs his head, he goes, ow, my little head.
But lot of the jokes with the little part of it, it could be applied to anyone that's short,
right?
Not necessarily specifically a little person. And actually, that's what I was pretty surprised at throughout this. The fact that he's a little person is kind of like him having, dark hair. It's just an aspect. They fully accept that he is this super spy.
And they're scared of him.
Yeah.
Terrified of him.
They're terrified of,
their butt.
Yeah.
But there weren't a lot of jokes about him being a little person.
No.
Specifically.
Mostly they came from him. I know at one point where he's in a taxi and it runs out of gas and he gets pissed off and gives him money and says, now I have to walk on my little feet.
Oh, yeah. And you kind of feel bad for him.
Yeah.
But in the same sense, he's a badass. You don't need to feel bad for him because he's actually doing all these things that, a lot of people wish they were doing.
And he's getting all the babes, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
He kisses a lot of women.
One of my favorite scenes is they're at this hotel and they're going through all these, he's going through all these different rooms to, escape from. The ugly shirt gang, right?
Right, with the guy with the umbrella gun.
Yeah, and he, takes off and he randomly sees this woman. He goes in a room, looks out the window, realizes, he can't go out that window, comes back in, sees the woman, just starts making out with her. What? What in the world?
She looked a little surprised, too.
Well, at first she was surprised, but then she was all into it.
Yeah. He's a super spy. That's what they do.
I know, but
butt and romance women.
I know, but I'm sorry. I think Sean Connery could get away with it. But Wang Wang, come on now.
You don't think he was cute?
No, like a potato.
he was petite. Yeah, but I don't.
No.
It was so funny. It was the greatest thing because she was into it. And then when he leaves, he's just like, I gotta go. And then when he leaves, she's feels you can tell she was kind of aw, I wanted to go, I wanted to get to the next base.
Well, for those of you who do have a Wang Wang crush, you do get to see him without his shirt on quite a lot. And you get to see him disco dance. So you get to see his little butt moving.
Yeah, so there you go. For all you Wang Wang enthusiasts.
You Wang Wang people who love him as a sex object.
What would it be called? A fan be called? What the Wang Wang fan club?
Wang Wang Brigade or something.
The Wang Wang heads.
There you go.
The
Wangettes.
Talk about the end.
The end of the movie.
Island. Oh, Lord. Hidden Island. It's like Hidden a 20-minute long
paper with the count on.
Expansive fight scene where it's, we counted it up.
It was
80-something?
It was 80-something.
81, I think. Something like that.
Bad guys that get shot just in that last part.
Who don't shoot back. Well, one guy shoots.
One guy shoots, and he kills Irma.
Boo!
It was sad. And her last line. What was her last line?
Mission accomplished.
Best line in the movie.
And the best death in the movie.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, very dramatic. All the other deaths are just deaths. Yeah.
Well,
no.
We have Irma's was a great death. That sounds awful. But we have the slide.
That's right.
Death.
The guy up on the slide. Takes him 10 minutes to fall
down.
That
was my favorite death. I'm sorry.
Was sad. You didn't actually. I didn't expect her to get shot, at the end there.
You kind of feel bad for her. But, really, she's throughout the film, but not, in the middle of the movie, they kind of, I don't know. Then he, you know, they get back together, and then they're, you know, helping each other out.
I love when, because they rescue Von Kohler at that point, and then she's like, go to the beach, run, run, fat ass, run!
Yes. But the pool death was awesome. Oh, yeah, that's how I want to die, at the top of a water slide.
And you don't see him. So you shoot, he's like shooting up, and you're like, what the hell's going on? And then, you know, it takes 5 minutes for this guy to tumble down the slide.
Wait for it. And he doesn't just fall. He literally tumbles head over heels down the slide.
Into the water.
Into the water, pops up for a breath of air, and then dies.
They do all these horrible jump cuts, but they didn't do one for that one. Like, that one, I would understand that they did one. Yeah. But, you know, they could have done this jump cut where it's just like all of a sudden, bam, he falls down. And I'd be like, oh, okay, they had to wait because he just didn't come down on time. Like, he was probably just doing something else, you know. It isn't today, so he wasn't on his phone. So what else could he have been doing that, you know, maybe somebody wasn't giving him the cue or something.
Yeah, it took him a little bit to die and fall down the stairs. But there were a couple of situations where guys got shot on the top of the stairs, and it took them a while to either tumble down or walk down or whatever. It was very strange.
Yeah. But I thoroughly enjoyed that. And that, you know, I don't want to die that way, but I would like, I would love to get shot that way. If I ever get shot.
In the arm, preferably.
The arm. Shoulders. Or the leg or something where I would fall down a water slide. That would be fun. I'm like, if I'm going to get shot, I want to get shot a fun way. I don't want to die, though, that way. Because it just wouldn't be fun.
Well, you could be like a group of three people, just like in the movie, that show up just in the nick of time to get shot by all of the good guys.
I know. The best thing about them getting shot was that they ran up, and without their guns, like, even pointed anywhere, they run up, and then they start getting shot at. And then, like, it's like, what is the point of this? Like, there's like a million, there's
over
like 80
and over and over.
People.
Yeah. And then the beret guys, too.
Right,
like
they're
the
beret guys.
Okay, so to talk about the ending, we have to mention that the ending of the movie had those people, like the people that are part of the secret agent group.
Right.
Come and help him at the end.
Right.
He's taking care of everybody in the beginning.
The police mustache gang.
But I mean, it makes sense because there's 80 of them, but like, I mean, it made no sense whatsoever why they were not helping him out, like, at all. I guess they felt like he could handle it, and he could.
He could.
Maybe they were trying to be subtle in the beginning, and then, you know.
You're like, let's go over the top at the end.
Going to Hidden Island.
Hidden Island, which wasn't very hidden.
No, but there was a map that was had the drawing on there, and it said clearly Hidden Island on it.
Yeah.
This is, it's like saying, here's your secret right here.
Secret.
Island. Right, yeah, there you go. Not very hidden at all. But, you know, that was the fun part of it.
It was pretty adorable.
All right. Well, we are down to the last thing, I think. We are down to rating.
Oh, that's right. We got to give our rating. So, this is with the new stinkometer that we had talked about. Remember where, 10 is, you know, a lot of stink points is really, really, really bad. And only 1 if you don't think the movie was particularly bad. And if it was in between, you'd probably give it a 5. And you can always give a rating like a 0.5 if you had to, if you couldn't give it one number here or there. And I believe I gave this a 3. So not particularly stinky. It's just there's a lot of bad stuff in it. But there was just so much fun and so much enjoy. It was so enjoyable, and there is a lot of stuff that's done right in this film. So I gave it a 3.
What'd you give it?
I think I was like a 3.5. Yeah, yeah.
I think I gave it a 4.
Yeah, because I think I was kind of stuck in between you guys.
Yeah, it was 3, 3.5, 4, and you know, I'm not saying it was bad or whatever, but I'm just, you know, because like. You know, on a stink scale, it is still, it's not like half, you know, good and half bad. You know what I mean? It's close, but not, you know, not there yet. And I like it, but I don't like it enough to give it a 3.
Cause
it's just, you know, that I think I'm going to save for like movies that I can watch over and over again, you know, like, and things like that. This movie I can watch, you know, and I was willing, you know, I'm willing to watch it more than once because it is kind of a fun movie. And my friends, like, seriously, one of my friends who I hang out with, like, every Sunday night, I told him, oh, we watched this movie last week. or whatever, we were getting Latin that night, and he was like, oh yeah, I've seen that movie.
Really?
You know, and everything cool. like that. Yeah. So it is a sort of popular movie, which I had never heard of until you brought it up. And then, you know, I think what turned me off at first was hearing it was a Filipino movie, because I thought subtitles and I'm not against subtitles. I read subtitles all the time. I just sometimes subtitles can take away from the movie because you're reading it instead of watching what's going on.
Stupid reading.
I know. But, you know, the dubbing in this movie was so fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
It just, you know, if you put subtitles and put the, I don't know if you can, put the Filipino language in there and put subtitles, I wonder what it would be like.
Yeah, you got to wonder what the real dialogue is going on. If I could get my hands on a script, I always wondered if Andrew Levo had found an actual script of this film. If they even had one, they may not have even had one.
Could you message him and find out?
I could try and find out.
That'd be something to put on the website. Cool. Stuff like that. Little blogs about the stuff that we're doing. Oh, by the way, we're doing a website. Just so you all know.
That's right. We are. And it's getting worked on. The Helper Monkeys are working on it as we speak. And hopefully it'll have all of our, you know, podcast links and our reviews. And we're going to have some links there for people who want to watch the film or want to buy the film. Mm-hmm. And any other kind of cool, interesting thing about that particular film that particular week, we're going to put it up there as well.
So I'm not sure when that's going to go up, but expect that as soon as you can. Also, you can check us out more. I'm going to start posting more on Twitter and Facebook. Facebook reminds me when I haven't, you know, been paying attention to my page or whatever it'll tell me. Mm-hmm. I haven't been paying attention to this page as much as I should, but I will, soon.
And fortunately, Just Jen gets really riled up if she doesn't see a stinky movie after a couple of weeks. So then she comes to me demanding, hey, when are we going to see another movie? Well, get Jonathan over here.
I like that. And, you know, because we need that. Because us just doing it is one thing. But when all three of us and somebody is actually, because, you know, Paul and I get lost in our, like, you know, weekend crap that's going on or whatever. So I'm always down, you know, if I can come out. Or I think next time we may be going to Williamsburg, where I live, and do that. So that'll be fun. Change it up a little bit.
Hopefully Obi won't attack us the entire time.
Yeah, I may have to lock him in the garage. I don't know. Oh, well, we'll see.
He's a mischievous kitty.
Oh, he is. He's a sweetheart, but he's... You know, he'll start playing around. But yeah, you know, that's what kittens do.
I know, but that's what happened. I mean, you came to me and you're like, hey, when are we going to do another movie?
Well, the reason is because I'm a planner. I may not follow through with my plan, but I like to have a plan to begin with. And I was looking at the month ahead and there's a few things that I would like to do. And Sunday being a day off, I want to make sure I get everything set.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Well,
and
we
tend to cook, so
we definitely have a whole slate of stinkers. We don't have it quite all written down yet, but we know. I mean, I know what we're going to be doing after Jonathan's next movie,
And then I know what I'm going to be doing after that next movie.
So there you go.
And then you probably have something in mind after that. So I mean, we got stuff. Jen's the only one who hasn't said anything, but like. I feel like what you would pick is the stuff that's on MST3K that you know.
Well, no, because a lot of those I don't know if I could hear the voices in my head. I can hear some of the jokes.
Yeah, I hear the voices in my head all the time, too.
I don't know that I could separate myself.
Kill them all. Kill them now.
Here's
the hackers, yeah.
Real quick before we end and stuff, I want to mention this because we're talking about MST3K and I want to tell a funny story. I think it's funny. But I've seen Plan 9 from Outer Space like a million times.
Yay!
I love it. It's one of my favorites. And I had heard that Riff Tracks was doing a, a live thing.
Right.
And I went to Hampton. You were probably there, right?
Oh, yeah.
You said. And we didn't know each other back then.
Nope.
But do you remember this? Do you remember going there? Do you remember
Absolutely.
That apparently the show was like... you know, like they had a mess up, they had an issue
right.
with the thing, so they couldn't get it going. So everybody was like, "Boo!"
Ed Wood was running the show,
and people were saying stuff like MST3K stuff. And the lady there that was running it and everything got really upset. She was like, "You guys, calm down right now." And then one guy turns to me and goes, "Do they know what they're showing right now?" You know, like them joking is just, you know, right? And I just thought that was kind of funny. But then I watched the live, and if you guys ever, there's a commentary on the Plan 9 Color. I don't know if you have that DVD.
No.
There's Plan 9 in Color. There's a commentary track. So it's one of the only times you can actually get a commentary track, but it's just Mike Nelson on the commentary track.
Nice.
And he does almost all the same jokes from MST3K. Like, and some of the other guys say some of his lines that he said in that one, and it just frustrates me. I don't know why, but I'm just like, I've heard this before, you know? And I was like, they could have come up with a whole brand new jokes and stuff like
Well, yeah.
I guess it's easier to just do ones that not many people have heard the commentary.
Well, like I said, they tend to have them all written out, so you've already got them there, so go ahead and use them again. But you're right, I mean, especially a movie like that, you know, it's rich enough that you can come up with new jokes if you really wanted to.
Yeah, My favorite one was about Criswell. It was something that was like, you punish the guilty. It's like, someone should punish his hairstylist. Anyway, that was way off topic. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening tonight. Check us out on Twitter, at Indie Film Cafe. Instagram's also there, and so is Facebook.
Really?
Yes, we talked about this, and we did a YouTube thing, so check us out on YouTube. Should be out about the same time, so you'll see the first episode of that. And then I don't know when we're going to be doing the YouTube show yet, like if that's going to be like once a month or every time that we get together. I don't know. We'll figure that out. And then there's the Reddit, which we just started, and we were talking about that on the YouTube. Once again, don't have any idea what is going on there, so that'll be fun.
Don't forget the website. We're going to have that coming up soon. Don't forget our Patreon site. We could always use a bit of moolah to keep us going.
Just go to patreon.com/indiefilmcafe, I believe. If not, you can just search for it in the search for Indie Film Cafe. Please, $1, you know, when you're going out somewhere and you're like, I'm going to spend $1 on gum. Like, really, that'd be about right. The only thing you can buy a freaking dollar for. But you're going to buy, you know, gum. Instead of buying gum, you know, instead of your bad breath, give us that dollar for just 1 month. I mean, that's it. You know, $1 1 month. Unless you're homeless on the street, I don't know how you're hearing this, but if you're homeless on the street, I can understand you, understand it. But $1 is not much. We actually, even Paul and I contribute to this. You know, we give $1 as well. So it's not even like we're doing this as whatever. We want you guys to help us out, and we also do in turn help other Patreon accounts as
That's right, and we got to spend money to get quality products, and frankly, Helper Monkey has a lot of bookies that he has to pay off, so we need the moolah.
Yeah, I mean, it costs money to run this Podbean, and it costs money to, you know, buy all these awesome... awesome stuff like microphones and different things to help us out. So just please, if you got $1, we love it. If not, you know, please still listen. I mean, it's a free podcast, you know.
You can find it in the bottom of your hearts to help us do some stinky movies.
Yep. We're here to entertain you guys. So
that's right.
And also let us know, like, that you're listening and that you guys are enjoying this podcast, that you stayed to the end, which we really appreciate.
And don't forget, if you have a stinky movie suggestion, a movie that you think that we should cover, you know, please feel free to send us an email or write us or, you know, send a flock
tweet,
of penguins.
Tweet us.
Anything.
Let us know what this stinky movie is. I think we are going to do a lot more stuff on Twitter. So we're going to have more things that say, like, what is your favorite bad movie or something?
Right. Know? We'll do and some polls
can,
and such.
Yeah, and polls and such. And you can kind of tell us, you know, what your favorite bad movie is. And then someday we may, when we're out of ideas, we'll write down some. And you can tell us which ones you'd rather have us watch on 1 week or something. And then we'll do that.
Yeah, that could be like a challenge. That could be a Patreon challenge, you know?
Yeah. So, So if you suggest something, I mean, it's got to be in the realm of the B movie stuff. It's got to be, you know, the stuff that we watch, like For Your Height Only or,
right.
You know, Bigfoot Wars or whatever we did, you know, you can, you know, look at that and you can say, you know, I have, you know, Plan 9 from Outer Space using it as an example. Say that we will, you know, if it's something that's definitely, you know, I think The Room will be something we'll eventually watch.
Right.
But that's, you know, it's been done to death on different podcasts, so I'm not, you know, I'm not in a hurry for it. You know, there's not, how much can you say about that movie?
Right. Well, that's kind of one reason why I've been trying to go to more obscure kind of movies because, mm-hmm. you know, I may as well go ahead and spill the beans. The one next one that I'm going to be doing is Roller Gator. And not too many people know about Roller Gator, although I think it was finally covered by Riff Tracks a little while ago. But other than that, most people don't know about it. And people need to because it's really bad and funny.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's the greatest thing is if it's bad, if it's kind of so bad it's funny, just don't give us stuff like Rush Hour.
Ugh,
you know,
God,
like
no.
Things like that, like things that you would see at, you know, normal everyday people watch. We want stuff that's more obscure, stuff like, I don't know, like this For Your Right Only is the perfect example.
Oh, yeah.
You know, things like that. So just, you know, check it out. Let us know what you guys think. Also, please donate to our Patreon. We would appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, all right. I guess everybody sign off. This is Jonathan saying goodbye.
It's time to send Marilyn Barrelin.
Bye.
Bye.